Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Quick snap. Williams moving, backing up. On the move, he is going to keep it and get the first down. What a difference a year makes with Caleb Williams. You're seeing it today.
Oh, yeah. And this is why when he was coming out of SC in Lincoln Riley's offense, this is what everybody saw. This is his wheelhouse. You know, he's making a concerted effort to get under center and play on time and rhythm. This is what he does. This is his superpower, ability to create and then the awareness to extend just to make sure he got that first down.
Very much looking like the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yep.
Which he was. From the 29, Swift is the back. Swift inside the 25, first down and more. And Swift takes it to the 11 and just shredding that Eagle defense.
Keep in mind, they continue to run to the edges with jet sweep or reverses. And then they go back to the interior where those double teams are winning. Those offensive linemen, I mean, it's like watching a symphony, the way they're working with these double teams, sustaining blocks, and you got two fresh backs that are running downhill and shaking through arm tackles.
132 rushing yards in a quarter and a half.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Show works on many levels. Spiegel and Holmes show, Big Ann Heron is in for Spiegs today. We are very lucky to have James Big Cat Williams on the show, too, because, man, the Bears' run game is a whole lot of fun. He joins us now here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Big Cat, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate you. How much fun are you having watching the Bears just lean on the defensive line and run like it's the 80s?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
First, what's up, fellas? How are you guys?
What's up, Big Cat?
Yeah, I am really enjoying watching what I'm seeing right now. Caleb, them running the duo, them running the outside zone, the combination blocks that you guys were talking about earlier, the movement off the ball, being able to take those three techniques and those nose guards and move them 3-4 yards off the ball, allowing, you know, Swift and Menungai to get 4 or 5 yards past the line of scrimmage before they're even touched at times. So as an offensive lineman, you love seeing that because you know they're coming off to the sidelines and they're talking about the things that they're doing. They're discussing them. They're cheering each other on as they pancake a guy 4 or 5 yards down the field. So, yeah, it's very exciting to watch right now.
Big Cat, can you give folks a little bit of a sense for even in the midst of the play? Because it's one thing to talk about the pre-snap phase for an offensive line and the nuance of cadence and spacing and depth and splits and all those other things. But during the snap, yourself as an offensive tackle, the offensive guard on one side, maybe the tight end on the other side. There's times even in the midst of the play where the run scheme and how you're passing things off within the run game, how you're overtaking a defender when, you know, when the run scheme calls for it. What are some of those, the conversations, the communication like that being next to the same guy for a certain period of time really ends up developing?
Well, you always hear people talk about the longer a offensive line plays together, the better they do. And the reason why that is so is because it's the communication or lack of communication that's needed, you know, once you've played with guys for a while. Because, like you said, you get up to the ball, you know what your splits are supposed to be, and you know where guys are supposed to be lined up. You know where your responsibility is. Like, let's say you're talking about Wright and Jackson, okay? If Jackson has a three technique and they're running left and those two guys are supposed to be double teaming, then they know they have a hard double team up to the next level. What linebacker they're responsible for all depends on the point from either the center or the quarterback. But as you all were talking about earlier, with motions, you know, now everything's thrown off a little bit because now a motion might take a linebacker to the backside a little bit where you can spend a little bit more time on that double team working him up to the next level. If the motion's taking him towards the play, now you know that the guard might be coming off a little earlier because now that linebacker might be in full flow towards where the motion was going, and that's where some of those cutback lanes open up. But as a lineman, you're taught, you know, when you get on the double team, you stick on the double team until you either drive that guy back into the linebacker's lap or that the linebacker has passed you to a certain point. Like, let's say the linebacker passes the three technique. Now it's time for the guard to come off. He doesn't want to come off premature because now you might have a defensive tackle that splits the guard and the tackle, and now that's how you get your tackles in the backfield or a tackle, you know, at the line of scrimmage. So all these things are things that need to be communicated, need to be known, but the less communication you have to do, the easier it all flows. Anytime you can get up to the line of scrimmage and you don't have to do a lot of thinking, which is really good, which is really evident in what the Bears are doing right now as far as, look, we're not running a ton of different blocking schemes. You know, the line knows what the blocking schemes are, but there is so much window dressing that goes along with each play that it makes it look different to the defense. And if you can get the defense to be behind by one step, you know, you've made the job for the offensive line a little bit easier. So, you know, those are the little things that I'm looking for when I'm watching them. And, you know, they're doing it very well right now.
And it seemed like with the game that they played last Friday against that really active Eagles defensive front, especially on the interior, there are times where like Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, their guys on the inside, they might try to backdoor some blocks. And throughout the season, they've been able to make plays. And there were a couple of times in the game the other day where if Jackson or Tooney or even Dahlman had them overreach, you saw them try to go backdoor a few times there. But as a group, when you guys get accustomed to working together and you have a unit that isn't necessarily always going to try to play just their gap responsibility, how did you see the Bears able to kind of handle that and adjust to it for a group that's really active after the snap like Philly was?
Well, I think when you're talking about the Bears O-line, you're talking about a group of guys that each of them has a different skill set. Like you look at Drew Dahlman. And he is very fast off the ball, has the ability to get his guy reached and get his guy cut off. He's not a guy that really tries to blow anybody off the ball, but he's a good positional blocker. So when you see a guy trying to backdoor him, you also see him slow down and adjust his feet so that he can stick with him. Now, when you look at a guy like Jonah Jackson, he's coming off the ball with a little bit more force. So you might see a defender come in off of his backside when he's solo blocking and be able to make a play because he's taking so much force. He's trying to blow this guy off the ball. Maybe he gives him a soft shoulder. Maybe he swims him to the inside where he didn't think he was going. And the defender is fast enough to put that foot in the ground and tail right back off his hip to get down the line of scrimmage to make a tackle. But when you have guys – like I said, of different skill sets, each of them handles it a little bit differently. Like when I was playing as a tackle, if I'd get a guy cut off and I felt as though he was a guy that played to my backside a lot and was still able to make plays, we butt block him like you do in basketball. You stick your butt on him, you stick your arms out, and, you slide back to where you came from. Just like a basketball defender, you're trying to stay low, trying to keep your base, and just trying to push, get him to have to work a couple more yards up the field so he can't come directly down the line of scrimmage. And I think a lot of it is personal preference or what you are able to do as an individual when that situation occurs.
All right, no. The beautiful thing about this is that I have an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman here, okay, which is great. So I want to ask you both the same question. Kat, I'm going to start with you. I remember there being a game earlier in the season where Bears players were talking about running the ball so much, and guys were like, "Ooh, boy, was I tired on that 20-play drive that we had." And it was funny to hear them talk about that because I kept thinking about, what about the defensive linemen on that play? How tired were they? So Kat, for an offensive line, when you have a 47-attempt game like they just had against Philadelphia where they're averaging 6 yards a carry, when do you, as an offensive lineman, know we got these dudes and they are close to quitting?
It depends, man. I mean, it could come as early as in the first half. It could come, late in the fourth quarter. But there is going to be a point in time where as a group or as an individual, you're going to look across at that defensive line. And you're right, Lawrence. When you hear offensive linemen talk about there being gas, that's very unusual because, you start gashing the defense and, that your momentum starts, everything gets heightened. You are just a step quicker off the ball, because you do know that you have the advantage. But you can see it. You can feel it. And with having defensive linemen rotate in and out of the game, you realize that, okay, they're bringing their second group in because the first group's tired or a little winded. Oh, we are going to destroy this second group. You are a second group for a reason, and we're going to prove to you why you are that second group. But, now the first group gets a couple plays off. They get a little bit of, energy back into them. But we're still in the same mind frame as far as an offensive line. We've got this thing rolling. We've got our aiming points down. We're getting you off the ball. And, we can do this for the rest of the day. So as an offensive lineman, you can see it in their eyes. You can see it in the way they carry themselves. You know, as a kid, you were always taught, oh, don't put your hands on your knees. It shows a sign of weakness. You're looking for anything like that to try and take advantage of as an offensive lineman.
Okay, Big Ant, your turn. As a defensive lineman, when this is happening to you, when you're like, man, I don't feel like I can get good footing, I'm being pushed backwards, every move I've tried hasn't really worked, what's that like?
The thing that's so frustrating with the Bears' current offense right now is, in addition to the way it can physically tax you, which it definitely did against the Eagles the other day, to play like the first decade of the 2000s, kind of the first maybe, whatever, 5 to 7 years of the 2000s with the Kansas City Chiefs when Priest Holmes was there and Dick Vermeil was the head coach and Willie Rofe was on the O-line just rolling folks off the ball. They had one of the best run games in football, and they would physically tax you. Or Jerome Bettis's Pittsburgh Steelers would physically tax you. But then, like I was referencing earlier with the Colts and that offense, they could mentally tax you. And it would just frustrate you as a defender because the ball was gone from Peyton Manning before you could get there if you thought you had a guy beat. Or he would surprisingly take a 7-step drop when you didn't expect it because there'd been so much quick game and so much sprint and boot action, and they would mentally tax you in a different way. And the Bears offense having that ability to do both. You've seen both play out against different opponents throughout the season, and each can be equally effective. If you've got an O-line and a tight end position, like the Steelers always had really physical tight ends. The Titans had a stretch of really physical tight end play. So a lot of times you're thinking as a defensive end, all right, finally I got a tight end to mess with. But then certain teams just have tight ends who are really physical too, and it's not really a playoff. So you got certain offenses that would physically tax you, but the ones who would mentally tax you and just make you stop rushing because you're not confident the ball's going to be there. And that was happening at times the other day. And we've seen it more and more in recent weeks as Caleb's timing mechanism has just gotten better within Ben Johnson's offense, where, yeah, if it calls for the quick game, not just a screen, but a quick read from within the pocket, and he's getting the ball out of his hands more quickly and within rhythm, and then you couple that with all the eye candy that Kat's talking about here and some of the nuance and the window dressing, you not only can tax them physically but mentally as well.
Cab, to go back to what you said. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna take you guys back to the Wayback Machine and give you a Gary Croton reference. Mm. When Gary Croton was our offensive coordinator, it was funny because his first year in, everybody got on him for throwing the rocket laser screens out to the wide receivers, and tackles were going out to block the corners, and everybody's running all over the place, but the theory behind it was, let's get those fat guys, not you, those fat guys in the middle to run sideline to sideline, you know, and see if we can wear them out. And then once we've got them a little wear out, now we'll drop duo and God's play on them and pound them up the middle and drive these guys 4 or 5 yards off the ball. So, you know, there's a little bit of cat and mouse that goes on with, you know, all the play calling when it's done right.
Seeing what Ben Johnson has implemented, and you brought it up a little while ago, the shifts in motions that the Bears offense is using. For the offensive linemen, I don't suspect that the things are that different, but if I'm wrong, please tell me. I would love to know what it's like for the guys up front when you can flip a formation from left to right and basically run the same play. And everyone seems to be buttoned up with it. That's the thing that's really surprised me, Kat, that we have gotten to a place now where we're not worried about the formation being wrong or false starts happening. It seems like they have thrown a lot of stuff in at these guys, and they have learned to accept it and now make it a weapon for them offensively.
Yeah, but I think that goes back to, like I said earlier, when you're talking about there aren't a lot of different run schemes that they're blocking. You know what I mean? There are 4 to 5 schemes that they're blocking, and that allows you to be able to practice it more. That allows you to be able to practice it against multiple different fronts. That allows you to know exactly what you're supposed to do when this guy is lined up here. Now, with the motions and the shifts and everything like that, what it does is it makes the defense move. And this is where the communication or lack of need of communication is big, because if that three technique goes to a head up with a shift or with a motion, now we have to be able to, we as in the offensive line, have to be able to adjust it, which means, you know, maybe the guard's taking a little bit more of that guy and the tackle is just trying to get a little push before going up to the next level. But, you know, how much time do you have between the end of that motion, a guy moving on defense, and the ball being snapped? That is a very short period of time. And that's where the sense that, if we don't have to communicate it, if I don't have to give you a backside B call, which is guard and tackle double teaming to the will linebacker, or a backside A call from the center to the guard, you know, if I don't have to give you a call, that's one less thing we have to do. That's one less thing we have to think about. We already know what we're doing. We're already in lockstep with each other, and now we're rolling off the ball when the ball snaps.
One of the things I've been really encouraged by lately is the Bears and, of course, the offense led by Caleb Williams, their ability to utilize snap count and varying the snap count more in recent weeks, and what a weapon that's become for them because of what it can do to the opposing pass rush in some of these predictable downs and distances. What was that like on the O-line, especially when you guys are huddled up and you're getting ready, you're breaking the huddle, that last little reminder maybe of what the cadence was? Is that something that maybe is underappreciated when you're trying to learn a new offensive system, where it looked like early in the year the Bears trying to vary the snap count was a problem? You know, you had Darnell Wright false starting, Cole Kmet false, you know, all that stuff all over the place. And now it does seem like the snap count gets varied and it's being used as more of a weapon lately.
When it comes to snap count and guys jumping off sides, it's either lack of concentration by the person that's jumping off sides, or it's the rhythmic cadence of the quarterback that throws you off. As you play with a quarterback longer, you know, as you get used to them, majority of the quarterbacks have a pretty rhythmic, their rhythm kind of stays the same. Even when they're trying to jump, force guys to jump off sides, the way they do it stays the same. When you have a guy that maybe isn't quite sure of it, now you get a, you know, set, you go from set hut hut to set hut hut. Now you have guys jumping off sides. You know, you always hear people talk about it's hard going sometimes for guys to go from one quarterback to another. You know, that's what the underlying issue is, that it's not that the quarterbacks are so much different in what they're doing, but their cadence and their rhythm of their cadence is different. And once you get locked in on a guy's cadence, like, you know, you go back to good quarterbacks, and if you listen to it, 90% of the time it sounds the same. The only difference is the offensive line, the receivers, we all know when we're going, as opposed to the defense. But if you throw a little hiccup in that cadence, that could throw everything off. You know, tight ends are jumping. If they can't, you know, if they're not able to see the ball because they've got that big 350-pound tackle standing there and they're trying to look around him to see the ball, you know, sometimes you can't do it. You know, so it's more about the rhythm of the cadence and the way he spits it out than it is – you know, the other little things that are going on. Because you can send a motion, but your cadence has to stay the same. You know, when you start, your cadence might differ, or when you where you want that guy to end up at the end of motion, but the rhythm of it all stays the same.
Kat, there's some folks on our Twitch stream right now. The Mob is pitching a James Big Cat Williams R&B album. What are your chops like? Are you much of a vocalist? Because there's a lot of folks assuming that you are.
Hey, if I can sing from the shower, I think I'll be pretty good. You know what I mean? But other than that, I'll muffle over too many words to be any good at that.
I like this suggestion from the 312, that we have now just stumbled into a new segment that we should call Trench Warfare with James Big Cat Williams and Anthony Big Ant Heron. I think this is a winning segment right here. Cat, we appreciate
I like
you,
it,
man.
I like it.
Thanks so much for jumping on the show.
Man, you guys have a good evening, dude.
You do the same. Thanks, that is James Big Cat Williams.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.